this guy here. Okay, we're going to call the LCC to order. We never want to rush things around this building, but it is a beautiful, sunny Friday afternoon. And my friend Jerry Janicek wants to get up the hibbing. And some of us want to get to other places. So that doesn't mean we don't. We've got, I know this will be about 13 of the 15 contracts or so. A couple are still out there, but today we have Minnesota Law Enforcement Association contract and some MNSCU contracts. So we'll go through these. So do we need to approve on the minutes from last
so moved, Your Honor. Okay. Your Honor, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Lilly, who's the minutes? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. I guess we're going to skip over number two of the law enforcement at this time because they're somewhere else. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Inter Faculty Organization, Mr. Cheetah and Chris Dale. Thank you for, and again, I believe you can be brief and concise and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Metz and members of the committee. My name is Bill Cheetah. I'm the Vice Chancellor of Human Resources for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. With me is Chris Dale, our lead negotiator in bargaining this agreement with the Interfaculty Association. A tentative agreement was reached on February 3rd and presented to the Human Resources Committee of our Board of Trustees on February 22nd, where it was unanimously approved for recommendation to the Board of Trustees. The members of the Interfaculty Association voted overwhelmingly to approve the tentative agreement. I do want to take a moment, though, to recognize the leadership of both Chris Dale and Rod Henry, who was the lead negotiator for the Interfaculty Association. They and their teams worked very hard to reach an agreement over more than 8 months. The agreement comports to the priorities and the parameters laid out by our Board of Trustees, and we believe the agreement is beneficial to both parties. Mr. Hubinger has done his usual excellent job of providing you a summary of the provisions of the agreement, and I don't intend to repeat them for you, but I would like to point out just a couple of items. We believe the economic provisions will significantly improve the competitiveness of our faculty salaries, a primary goal of both the Interfaculty Association as well as the Board of Trustees, allowing us to retain outstanding faculty and to recruit new faculty. As part of that economic package, we'll be able to recognize more significantly faculty who receive promotions. Promotions are granted to faculty who demonstrate a record of professional performance and high achievement in the areas of teaching, contribution to student growth and development, scholarship, and service to the community. We've negotiated a university scholar program which will recognize faculty who have demonstrated outstanding performance with a lump sum payment each year of their designation. And we've negotiated a mechanism to create endowed chairs which will be supported from sources that are non-tuition and non-state appropriation. We also reached agreement on language that will allow nine-month appointments to provide greater flexibility in scheduling courses. There are, of course, many other changes in the collective bargaining agreement. We'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Okay, any questions of Peter or Mr. Dale is at the front desk. Have you, how long this one take? 6-7 months or so?
A little over eight.
A little over eight, yeah. And the union overwhelmingly supported this?
It was about an 89% yes vote on the ratification.
We all had these in our packets for a little bit. But my attitude is you guys do 99% of the work and get to an agreement. And that doesn't mean we don't ask questions or anything, but I think that certainly you've done all your legwork to get both sides to agree, and it's not an easy process. But any questions? Anybody in the audience wish to speak against this ratification? Senator Olson.
Well, I just had one question. I'm not sure I understand. There was a couple places where it talked about a receiving two steps. What does, can you just amplify what that means? They jump to...
Dale, did you wish to...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, yes, that's what it means. In the second year of the contract, they will, faculty will move up two steps on the contract. We have had contracts in the past where steps weren't granted. In this particular contract, we negotiate the steps for each fiscal year that's covered by the contract.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Dale, is that just one time? They'll receive two steps when they reach 10 years, and then two steps again at 20, and then at 30? Is it every year after a certain point?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, yeah, you're referring to the career steps, which are located, I think, in Article 11, Section K of the contract. And, yes, those are only at the 10, 20, and 30-year thresholds. And we agreed to those, I think, in the 2001-2003 contract for the first time. They were agreed to with a sunset date that expired on June 30th of 2007. And we agreed to further the sunset date. The section appears to have met its desired, the stated goal for it when we first agreed, which was to alleviate some salary compression that tends to exist in the bargaining unit.
Thank you.
Okay, we do have a quorum. The members were here, so we can do official business. So is that it? Okay, then I guess that's any further questions? Folks, well, thank you very much, and we'll get to the motion here in a minute. Before that, we're going to hear from the Law Enforcement Association collective bargaining agreement. Commissioner Anderson, I see you in the view. Welcome, Commissioner. Good to see you. And
thank you, Senator.
Proceed.
I believe I'm the only one here on this. But
is that good or bad? I don't know.
Is anyone from the law enforcement? Do you want to speak to? No? Okay. All right. We're good. Members, the law enforcement contract is also before you. Essentially, it provides for the same things as the rest of the state employee contracts.
That would be like the 325.
That's right.
Is that correct?
The 325. There is a one extra provision where there's a 1% that is added to the top step of the salary range is effective at December 24th of this year, and that's for employees who've received the maximum. But otherwise, it's the same insurance provisions, the same 3.25, and we hope for your approval. I should also note this is the final. We only have the nurse's contract outstanding. Otherwise, they've all been before you. So.
And apparently the Law Enforcement Association is certainly bought into this because we're here, right?
Yep.
So we got a nod, which means yes over there, so that's fine. Any questions? It appears that this one is very similar to the other ones that we've ratified. So, all right. Hello there, Secretary Wergen. Okay, do you have this resolution to approve this? The blue sheet, does everybody have it? This would be simply that we move that the subcommittee recommends that these two agreements be ratified. And Representative Senator Olson, did you wish to move this one?
I can move it.
Yeah. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, members, I'd like to point out two things. First, as is indicated by Vice Chancellor Chita, although the board, the personnel board for MNSCU has recommended that this contract be approved by their full board, the full board is not meeting until Thursday of this next week.
Oh.
So the understanding is that the legislature won't ratify the contract past the bill until after that's happened, and I'm assuming that this bill won't get to the past the floors next week. The second piece I'd point out is that generally the subcommittee meets during the interim and provides approval of the contracts, and they go into effect immediately. When the subcommittee meets during a session, the subcommittee's action is advice only, and so the contracts won't go into effect until the bill is signed or is passed and signed by the governor.
I'm going to ask what the MNSCU, the MSCF negotiations, is that moving along? Are we getting there? I'm not exactly sure of the acronym there, but I'm going to ask to see where we're at on that.
Senator Metz and members of the committee, the Minnesota State College Faculty Association has reached a tentative agreement with the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. They are in the process of ratifying that with their members, and it is on the agenda of our Board of Trustees next Wednesday to approve that contract. I believe it would come to the committee as soon as the membership is ratified.
Okay, good. So Senator Olson renews her resolution recommending approval of the collective bargaining agreements that are printed on the blue sheet. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, folks. Should we talk about the compensation plan for the Office of Legislative Auditor? Let me give you my perspective on this thing.
Well, Mr. Chair, are you going to do the administrators?
Did we do that? Isn't it part of?
No.
Two different blue sheets.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Cheetah. Yes. Excuse me. I'm trying to wrap them all in a hurry, but I'm going too fast, even for myself. Yeah.
Thank you. Cheetah. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Metz.
And the administrators.
I'll try to be brief. The Board of Trustees approved the proposed personnel plan for MNSCU administrators on January 16th and directed me to take the steps necessary to secure final approval from the legislature. The statutory authority to have a compensation plan for our administrators resides with the Board of Trustees. Approximately 7 years ago, we adopted a compensation philosophy which states that we'll use external higher education salary and benefit data as the primary driver in formulating changes to our plan. That compensation philosophy also recognizes that we need to maintain reasonable salary relationships with our faculty units and other appropriate employee units within state government. Every biennial revision of the plan includes the establishment of priorities, some of which remain the same over time and some change. This biennium, the priorities are to provide salaries and benefits that are competitive with those offered by other employers in higher education, to maintain our ability to reward individual performance, to address post-employment benefit issues, which including the cost of health care and enhancement of retirement savings, revise our relocation benefit provisions in order to alleviate some recent administrative problems, and to revise our severance pay formula in response to changes made in the collective bargaining agreement covering over 400 of our supervisory employees. Again, Mr. Hubinger provided you with a summary of the proposed changes in the plan. And again, while he did his usual excellent job, I believe there's one statement in there that I'd like to clarify, because it might lead someone to believe that the chancellor received a 19% pay increase. In fiscal year 07, the chancellor's base salary was $285,961. And he received a performance award of $54,588 for that year. The sum of his base salary and performance award for that year was $340,549. The Board of Trustees established his base salary for fiscal year 08 at $340,000, which is the same salary that he earned in fiscal 07. They also created a $25,000 lump sum performance award bonus, and if he receives the maximum lump sum award, his cash compensation for fiscal 08 would be 7.3% more than his fiscal 07 compensation. So I just wanted to to make sure that you understood that what Mr. Hubinger was talking about was just the increase in the base salary. It wasn't an increase in the amount of pay that he received from one fiscal year to the next. With that, I could either go through individually the provisions of the plan or simply take questions that you might have.
What's the feeling of the... I always see if we've tried some questions that we've all kind of looked at the issues here, maybe do it that way. Senator Representative Diggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What have the past year's salary range increase has been in a per a percent? Has it always been a range, or has it, I mean, what have they typically gotten?
Senator Metzen,
yes.
Representative Bingham. Under this plan, we have always established a pool of money for either the chancellor or the presidents to award to individuals based on their performance. That amount of money has varied over the year. In this plan, we are suggesting that it would be a 4% pool in fiscal 08 and a 5% pool in fiscal 09. In fiscal 07, the pool was 3.5%. In 06, it was 4%. In 05, it was 1.25%. So that's generally been the nature of the pool.
Okay.
We'll follow up
with
Senator Metzen. So this isn't anything new. This is my first time on this, I guess, so I'm just trying to establish the history here. So this isn't something new where you take a range and this is how you have done this in the past for agreements.
Senator Metzen, Representative Bingham, yes, this
okay.
is, we followed the same procedure. The only thing that's been changed is the size of the merit pools. As I say, last
the size point, of the, I'm sorry, what?
The size of the merit pools. The last 2 years of the biennium, it was 4% and 3.5%.
Okay.
This year, we're
Got
proposing
it.
4 and 5.
Okay, any further questions, Mr. Representative Lanning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vice Chancellor Scheide, I'd like to ask you for the record the same question that I asked of you when we met the other day, and that is with respect to all of these contracts that are being recommended and acted on today, what does that do overall to Minsky budget in terms of does it cause Minsky to have to find savings elsewhere in order to meet these obligations under the legislative appropriation for this current biennium?
Senator Metzen, Representative Lanning, yes, to some extent it will require campuses to find some additional money. Judy Borgen is here from our finance staff and can perhaps correct me if I make any errors in this, but by and large, our campuses used a planning number in the range of 4 to 5% per year for collective bargaining settlements. We received an inflation amount which was equivalent to about 3.25% of salaries. And so in the normal course of budget planning, reallocation and other cost saving measures would be used at each campus to make up the difference. I might also add, just for members who might not understand the process we use within Minsky as we go into collective bargaining, we have Chancellor McCormick has a leadership council made up of the 32 presidents and the senior leadership in the Office of the Chancellor. We meet on a monthly basis and more often with respect to collective bargaining, but as we establish our positions, including our economic positions, we fully involve the presidents of the institutions so that we don't create difficult situations that they can't deal with. So,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I take it on the basis of what you've said that some individual campuses may have to find some savings in order to stay within their budget parameters for this biennium. And it may mean some savings in other areas in order to have these contract obligations met. Is that's correct?
Senator Metzen, Representative Lanning, yes. Thanks.
And Mr. Chairman, that would be apart from any other budget adjustments that may be necessary as a result of the overall shortfall we have facing the state.
Senator Metz and Representative Lanning, that is correct. The impending potential cut in funding would be on top of anything that they have planned for up until this time.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chita, I think Mr. Hubert is writing, but perhaps you can clarify one sentence in here, which isn't quite clear to me. It said Nenskew proposes to increase the maximum of the ranges for presidents by between 12% and 32.1% the first, and 4% the second. I don't know what is meant by the first and the second. And is the range, is it a range I think of is, if it was between 12 and 32, is it the whole range that's being elevated by that much? And is that for initial placement of new hires of presidents? And then beyond that is what you're proposing, that the 4% is what, if their performance is adequate or whatever, they will get the 4% in the second year, the 5%. But what does the, clarify for me, the 12, the 32 in the first year and the 4% second?
Mr. Chita.
Senator Metz and Senator Olson. What Mr. Hubinger is talking about there is the percentage increase in the top of the salary ranges for presidents the first year of the biennium and the second year of the biennium. So the tops of the ranges, six presidential ranges we have, will increase anywhere from 12 to 32% in the first year of the biennium, and then they all would increase 4% the second year of the biennium. This, quite frankly, is in response to where our competitive position has slipped with respect to president's salaries. The 32% increase in presidential ranges is in presidential salary range 3, which is the range for our largest two-year institutions.
Okay.
So that would include institutions like Normandale, Century, Hennepin Technical College. And it really is in direct response to our losing two of those presidents in the last year to significantly higher salary offers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So those are different ranges that are used based on the
size. Correct, based on the size of the institution.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, any further questions on the administrator's plan? Okay, are we ready to go on to the senator, representative?
I certainly could move it. Did we not finish? Otherwise, I could move it.
I think we'll do them together. The next
one. Office of Higher Ed, you too?
I've caught up now, so we've got to do the Office of Higher Ed, then we'll recognize you.
Okay.
We've got Susan Hegart and Mary Lou Dresbach. Welcome to the committee, and tell us how much you love this agreement.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Susan Hegart. I'm the director of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, and with me, Mary Lou Dresbach. Mary Lou oversees the human resources work in our agency, as well as our Get Ready, Gear Up program that we have. I just wanted to make a couple of introductory remarks before handing this really over to Ms. Dresbach. For those of you who don't know, we've been a cabinet agency for just 4 years. Before that, the agency was an independent agency for about 10 years, and before that, a coordinating board with its own board and that sort of thing. So our experience as a cabinet agency is fairly new. What we've been trying to do since that time, we've always had our own plan, but since becoming a cabinet agency, we've tried to move in steps towards getting into better alignment with the other state plans, particularly the managerial plan, because so many of our employees have jobs similar to the sorts of jobs inside the managerial plan. So with that, Mr. Chair and members, I'll pass the microphone over to Mary Lou Dresbach.
Oh, yeah, there's 45 employees.
That's correct, Senator Metz.
And you guys are at about the 3.25 like everybody else?
Yes.
3.25 a year?
3.25 on the general increase, and then there's a provision for performance-based increases from a pool that averages 3.5% for those not at the top of their range.
All right, what else is okay?
The plan covers 45 employees, and the agency has about 70 employees total.
Oh, so the total is 70, but this involves 45.
This is, yes.
All It looks quite similar to what we've been doing, I think.
It's very similar to the provisions that were implemented in the managerial plan. We tried to align as close as possible to that in making the changes to our plan. And if you have any questions about any of it, I'd be happy to try to answer them for you.
Any questions by the committee? Representative
Lighting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask the same question. The amount of these increases, what impact will that have on the budget that's been approved for your agency? Will you have to find other, will you have to make other cuts or savings in order to stay within your overall budget?
Mr. Chair and Representative Lanning, that's a good question. We're still sort of working through the numbers. The way that we've been testifying before the committees that have asked about the 4% reduction and the impact on the agency, we're going to be able to weather that, I think, without affecting jobs yet. But when it comes to the increases, if you look at both the 3.25% and the additional 3.5%, we're taking a strategic look at that right now. I don't know the extent to which we may have to maybe pull back a little bit on some of those numbers depending upon the budget situation, but we're working through that strategically.
Mr. Chairman.
But you should be pretty well within your, what we've budgeted for already, is that correct? I mean, you're not, the other one's a little off, but this one's pretty close. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Even with the 4% that you're looking at as a target, you feel as though you can accommodate this increase in compensation within the parameters?
Yes, in talking to our chief financial officer, he indicated that he had budgeted in a range for salary increases, and we should be okay unless the cuts go much deeper than we've been told.
Okay, I think you got our deal going here. You don't talk too much. Don't talk too much more now. No, do you have anything to add?
Not unless you have another question.
Okay, are we? This is last 2 weeks. Okay, Representative Hilstrom renews her motion that the resolution recommending approval of these two plans, compensation plans, be adopted. Further questions? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, now we're down to Mr. Nobles, I guess. Mr. Nobles, you can be kind of quick. Tell us how we got to this point. I think I know, but why we're doing this and what we did a couple hours ago, if you'd like. But welcome, Mr. Nobles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are coming. For the record, I'm Jim Nobles, the legislative auditor, and Cecile Ferkel is the deputy legislative auditor. And we're really coming back here just for informational purposes because, as you may recall, we were here several months ago telling you about some of our frustrations with our human resource situation. Now, that situation is quite a bit different than any of the other organizations that you deal with because, as you know, we're in the legislative branch. We're an office of the legislative branch, and yet most of our employees are in the civil service system and the executive branch. That structure and arrangement was created when this office was established back in 1973. And there were good reasons for that, and we think that those reasons exist today. But in recent years, we've had a real struggle with that structure. And while we think our employees ought to remain in the civil service system, we think we ought to have greater flexibility and discretion. We are an organization that really expects a lot of our employees. And we want to run an organization that is a high-performance organization. And being in the civil service system often puts a lot of constraints on that. We've worked with the commissioner a great deal in recent years, and we appreciate what she's been able to do for us, but frankly, it hasn't been enough. And I think we've gotten to the point where it really is a matter of principle that I think it is inappropriate that an official in the executive branch has as much control over the human resource decisions that are made in an office that's in the legislative branch. And so our proposal to you is that we be allowed to develop our own compensation plan, much like the board for state investments does. And you deal with that from Mr. Bicker. You did that several months ago. And we talked to Mr. Bicker a good deal about his approach and his plan. And that's basically what we're proposing. It's in legislation. I don't think it needs to be addressed by this subcommittee necessarily. It'll work its way through the legislative process. But it would simply authorize the legislative auditor to develop a compensation plan that then we bring to you for approval. So you will have control over whatever it is we propose to do. You'll be able to compare that with other plans. And so anything that we propose will develop, I'm sure, in conjunction with members of this committee and with Mr. Hubinger, whom we work with very closely in many other ways. So that's the proposal, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions that members might have.
Simply go through all the same mechanical stuff as all these other 14 or 15 that we're looking at come to us, and then we have to go from here to the finance committees, too. So
that's correct, Mr. Chairman.
There are a number of backstops, so it's not like you're avoiding anything. It gives you a little more flexibility here.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. And the degree to which you allow us to have that flexibility will be your decision. So we would simply like to propose and are proposing to the legislature that we be given this authorization, that we try this approach and come to you with a plan that you can review and decide whether to modify it or reject it or approve it. That's the proposal.
Okay. Now, today is an informational.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Just personally, I agree with it. Matter of fact, I think we helped get the discussion started a few months ago, but that's kind of where we're at. Senator Worgen, did you have a question? Okay. I think that's good. Any, you'll be working a little more closely with Representative Bingham and others on the committee. And
I'll be happy to do that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, any other business to come before this trusting committee?
Okay, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Hubinger.
Just a reminder for members that there's, as Vice Chancellor Ichida indicated, there's one more contract that's in the final stages of being approved at the at MNSCU. So we'll likely have a meeting within the next 2 weeks, and we'll need to find a vehicle to ratify that contract. It might still be the ratification bill here. It might be some other bill, but we'll have to make sure it gets through the process somehow before the legislature turns. If the legislature receives the contract and but doesn't pass the bill ratifying it, the contract is rejected, and so we want to make sure that we facilitate the process.
We'll just have to find a vehicle or figure it out or pull it up on the rules or something. We'll get it done. Okay, any further discussion? Not the meetings. But sure, thank you all for a good attendance. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Sally. You're a great American.